Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're joined now by Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, and lots of things on the table. Larry, Tinky, and Tierney, how you doing today? How you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Listen, there's so many things we want to go through with you. Let me start with this. Based on the initial intel, do you believe that the season will start on time, football season?
I'm certainly hopeful. I mean, I think we're gonna play football this year. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of open questions about when it's safe to do so, and then you know, what fans is a whole other question.
Yeah.
About that. But I think there's I'm an optimist. There's a lot of work going on. Not just within our league, but nationally in college football, across all sports. There's a great spirit of innovation, collaboration, and, you know, understanding the importance of sport to our society and college sport to our society and communities, is a heavy priority in getting back to work, getting the economy back going, and yeah. Sports is an important part of that as well as for the American psyche.
For sure. I just want to follow up there, Teek. You know, it's interesting because Teek and I have spent a lot of time in the last 5 or 6 weeks, Larry, on, you know, one day MLB is thinking this, and then the next week or so or a few days there's a slight modification, and mm-hmm. maybe here's a new idea. Obviously, football, the NFL, there's now stories, and we'll get to this on our show later, you know, maybe if there's a delay to the college football season, the NFL could play some games on Saturday. What we haven't heard as much, and I'm a little surprised, but I hope that it's there on some level, alternate plans. Now, I don't expect you to divulge all of them, but are there alternate plans if the season doesn't start late August like it usually does? Have there been conversations with people like yourself, people of prominence that run the conferences? Okay, we could do this, we could do that, and we could maybe do this. We haven't heard anything. Has that been discussed?
Yes, we're actively discussing it. I will say one of the reasons you probably haven't heard a lot is I think the first priority has been how to get students and student-athletes back to campus training and ready to play safely on time. And because they haven't been on campus, they haven't been with their coaches, they haven't been with their strength and conditioning coaches, I think there's a realization that there's an acclimatization period, mm-hmm. And getting back to a certain level of conditioning that's going to be required so that safely you could start a season, you know, without higher incidence of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of science backing that up, that if you're out of shape and you're out of training and, you know, you don't give yourself enough time to, you know, be ready to play, you're going to just see more injuries than you used to.
You know, Commissioner, I've heard you and some of your colleagues talk about the regular student body also having to be back on grounds or campus before any athletics can take place. Is that a philosophy that is it codified? Is it something that you guys are just recommending? You know, why do I keep hearing that, and how important is that to the overall intercollegiate activities that are going to go on around all the sports?
Yeah, I think you've heard it basically in a reaction to sort of what some of the plans are from the pro sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that the NBA could just, you know, take over a part of Walt Disney World and quarantine themselves, or baseball could do it in Arizona, or the NFL can basically, you know, have the players say goodbye to their families for for a few months, and they're going to, you know, take over a quarantine hotel and travel practice and travel to the games and not connect with the outside world. You know, that's not, it's just not practical or wouldn't be consistent with the values mm-hmm. of, you know, student athletes. So we don't have the same ability or will, frankly, to have a, you know, purely like a hermetic seal around around the athletes and, yeah. and let them compete on their own. I think the feeling is that if student athletes going to compete in sport, they've got to be back as students on campus, in dorms or apartments and dining halls, access to the medical staff, and that as a matter of philosophy and principle, you wouldn't put student athletes in harm's way or at risk if you didn't get to the point yeah. where you were at least comfortable that some students should come back on campuses. And to be clear, I think it's more likely than not that there's going to be a staggered return to campus. I don't know that schools like Arizona State with 80,000 students or UCLA with 50, 60,000 students are going to flip a switch and say it's, you know, it's business as usual. Mm-hmm. Everyone's back, three kids to a dorm, packed dining halls, packed classrooms. So I think there'll probably be a staggered start that might allow student athletes to start coming back. Right? I think that's the thing we keep hearing as we talk to doctors and public health officials. We should think about life as a staged mm-hmm. approach and coming back. So I think student athletes will be back to campuses in the early stages potentially, but it's just a different animal from pro sports in terms of how you can quarantine and segregate.
So that's Larry Scott, who is the Pac-12 commissioner. I know you have strong thoughts on congressional involvement, and this is important because it's about players and you know, young men, young women, the ability to monetize their branding, their likeness, their imaging. And it's about damn time. I mean, talk about an antiquated model. Teak and I are all for it. However, we've also pointed out, Larry, and I think this is something that you're very concerned about, dubious about, and I think you have reason to be, if there's not congressional involvement, I mean, the playing field is completely unlevel. There's advantages recruiting. There's certain pockets who are at a complete disadvantage. Basically, every state has to have uniform rule. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's something you believe strongly in, right?
That's correct. Look, I think with the discussion going on now and the changes that are going to be made represents a lot of opportunity for young people and student athletes. So we're heading in a positive direction. But there's a lot of fundamental differences in college sports from pro sports. There's no union. There's no collective bargaining agreement. There's no draft. And so there have had to be a very strict set of rules to kind of level the playing field in terms of how recruiting works and to make sure there's some competitive balance, whether that's roster sizes and you know, limiting inducements to student athletes. And I'm not suggesting that it's a completely level playing field at all, but there have been important rules that have allowed college sports to be national mm-hmm. And there to have some measure of competitive balance. So you know, the idea that student athletes will now be able to be compensated by third parties, and that there might be state laws that vary state by state that govern what that means and what's allowed and where agents are allowed to be involved and what type of payments are allowed, is concerning in terms of ensuring, you know, yeah. kind of a national approach to recruiting and competition, let alone, you know, complex nature of that, what it would mean for these high school kids and their families that are trying to navigate it. So we're proponents of Congress preemptively creating, you know, national laws that would govern how this works, so, you know, young people and their families don't have to, you know, try to figure out what can I do in one state, not in another state, and then we keep the competitive balance and those things that people love about college sports, and it doesn't become more like minor league pro sports.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Commissioner, yep. I remember seeing Mark Emmert going before Congress and suggesting and recommending these things. Has there been any feedback from our United States Congress on addressing this or doing anything along these lines?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few members that are interested. Understandably, there's, you know, more important things probably for them to focus on at the moment in terms
of
all right, health and safety of our public and, you know, getting the economy back and all that. But I think there is a recognition that because California has already passed a law allowing payments to student athletes that goes into effect in 2023, and other states like Florida have passed similar laws with some different twists that kick in already next year, that this is kind of the window where Congress either has to address this or not, and if they don't address it, we're going to be dealing with a patchwork of state-by-state laws that's going to, you know, I think be a mess.
Yeah.
And yes, no, there are various senators and congressmen that are very, very engaged. I think there are draft bills that are being written. Whether, you know, something can get done, given all that's going on in the world right now and how Congress works right now, I wouldn't begin to predict, but I'm hopeful and we're encouraging it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, name, image, likeness has been something that's been talked about for a long time. And I wonder, have you in your staff or in your member schools or other commissioners and their member schools started thinking about this and what type of infrastructure you're going to need to add? Or will you try to handle it with existing infrastructure? Because I think there's going to be some fits and starts, obviously. Have you thought about how this is going to be executed?
I think there's a lot of thought that's been given to it, but I don't think anyone's got a great grasp yet mm-hmm. as to how it's going to work. You know, until the laws are confirmed and the rules are set, you know, are agents going to be involved? And if so, when? Is it before young people actually get to college or after they're in college? And, you know, whether there's any restrictions around agents, any qualifications they have to have or not. You know, some of the things, you know, the players' associations bake in terms of protections around that. What are the disclosure requirements? Do you have to disclose deals or not, you know, to provide some transparency?
Yeah.
Who's going to police it?
Yeah.
You know, so there are models out there. You know, are schools, you know, meant to, for example, what would you police? There are concepts that I think have been established that these shouldn't be payments from the schools themselves to student athletes. That would be pay for play.
Yeah,
that would
agreed
be a professional
with that
model. But if someone's got market value and they can earn an endorsement or they can earn some money for an appearance, they should be allowed. So that's the concept. But who's going to determine whether when the local car dealer or bank or insurance agent wants to compensate a student athlete for their likeness, are they doing that because of the value that's brought to their business, or are they doing that to try to encourage that student athlete to come to school X over
yep.
school Y?
Yep.
You know, is that going to be the Federal Trade Commission that's going to enforce that and make sure people are playing by the rules, or is it the NCAA or the schools that are supposed to? These are some of the quote guardrails or guidance we're hoping to get from Congress in terms of what they see the rules and whether they think this is something that could be governed through some federal agency or whether they expect the schools to do it. Now, the other reason why Congress get involved is important is anytime the NCAA has tried to evolve the rules over the years, but every time, you know, there's a step, they do get sued a lot,
yeah.
Whether it's the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit
yep, that's right.
or recently the Alston case. I mean, the idea of creating a free market for student athletes, but you want some rules around it and some guardrails around it, in and of itself is easily challenged from an antitrust perspective. And that's another reason you need Congress to step up and not only say, you know, here's what the rules of the road should be, but we're going to provide some limited antitrust protection so that somebody, whether it's a federal body or the NCAA, is allowed to police it and
yeah.
govern it. I mean, and then this assumes you believe that there should be some limits on the free market, which colleges do and the NCAA does. We don't think that schools should be paying student athletes above the scholarship to come to the school or giving them bonuses based on how they should perform. We don't think they should be employees. But what we're saying is, but if they get paid by a third party for their commercial value, God bless them. But, so if you believe that, you need some protection to be able to police what's okay and what's not okay, and that's where it gets really complicated.
Yeah, those roots run deep beneath the surface. On the surface, the the plant or the flower. I was just talking about gardening before we got you on, so I use this analogy. It looks great. Oh, it's growing nicely. You throw a little water. Look at that. It really, aesthetically, it makes the yard pop. It makes the front porch pop. But as we all know, those roots can run in a multitude and do run in every direction. It gets a little gnarly down there. So use the term guardrail, but I think it creates the same vision. And that's Larry Scott, who is the Pac-12 commissioner. Last one for me, very quickly. Listen, it's obviously imperative on some level, if not every level, that each conference find some sort of uniform ground as they move forward. But do you anticipate, and this goes back to what I asked you initially about, do you think the season starts on time? Do you anticipate a rogue conference or two that will be on a different timeline with a different agenda that, quite frankly, could create some real acrimony within the other conferences?
I think if we get to that point, we're probably in a pretty desperate stage. If we get to kind of a Hunger Games of college sports where every conference is doing their own thing, then I think we would have failed. The reason why I don't think that's going to happen, and I'm more optimistic, is the importance of the college football playoff in football and the importance of the NCAA tournament, March Madness, in basketball. If conferences and schools want to be eligible to participate in the playoff, they've got to play an agreed schedule that the college football playoff agrees to and that the selection committee will evaluate. So I think I'm on daily calls with my peer commissioners from the SEC, ACC, Big 12, and Big 10. There's a real spirit of cooperation and a sense that we need to move forward together in this direction. That's not a guarantee that it'll happen that way at the end, depending on how states open up across the country and experiences we see, in other sports. But I think there's a lot of glue that keeps us together around the playoffs.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Let's hope it stays that way. Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12. Good informative chat. Thank you very much, Larry. Stay safe. Good having you on the show.
Good being with you guys. Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.